of My Legion podcast. I'm Adriana, or if you're from DA, you probably know me as BB. You can call me whatever, doesn't matter, because I'm speaking to you and I can't hear you. Anyways, I guess I'll start this out with a word on the format. For now, I'm just doing recaps. This is just recaps of old Legion stuff. Maybe later I'll talk about Legion news, and I might be joined by my friend and roommate and partner in crime, Kristen. But for now, it's just me being really amazing on my own. Now, the format for the show is taken pretty much directly from another podcast called Tom vs. the JLA. And he is really hilarious and excellent. And what he does is he recaps JLA comics. And I'll link to that when I post this up. Even if you don't read the JLA, you should still listen to his podcast because it's fucking hilarious. And you'll learn about the JLA. And that's basically why I'm doing this podcast. Legion over its 50 years. This is the 50th anniversary this year. Over its 50 years, it has amassed a lot of comics. And trying to understand the Legion and its history and its many incarnations is almost fucking impossible. I got into Legion by the cartoon, which ended recently. If you've ever seen the cartoon, it barely makes sense. If you don't know anything about the Legion, if you do know anything about the Legion, it doesn't make that much sense because their characters are different. It's a different timeline, that sort of thing. The only reason I really kept watching it was because of Brainiac 5, because he's fucking adorable. And then I slowly started learning who everyone was, and once you know who everyone is, the show is a lot more rewarding. And even then, it's kind of a mess, but it's still awesome and cute. And so if you haven't seen it, you should. Okay, so I know a lot about Legion stuff, but still not that much compared to the amount that's out there. There's a big gap, especially, well, in my knowledge, with all the old school stuff. I thought, hey, I'm going to read these things, and I'll pay a lot more attention to what I'm reading if I'm kind of doing a project with it and studying it and have a reason to pay more attention to it than I normally would. And I'll learn a lot more. So this is a podcast for you to learn about the Legion and for me to learn about the Legion by recapping old issues so that you don't have to go out and shell out however many dollars an issue of Adventure Comics 247 costs. All right, so this is a pilot episode, so there might be a lot of mistakes and stupidity. You'll have to bear with me. Be patient, please. One more thing you probably already noticed, but I swear a lot. Like, I almost have Tourette's. I'm so sorry. I'm just a foul-mouthed, horrible person. But I can't help it, and that's just how things will be. So, on to the comics. Well, a little bit of recap first. If you don't know, the Legion started out as another comic called Adventure Comics. This is also what Superman started out in. Now it's current incarnation is called Action Comics, and Superman's in that. Batman was in Detective Comics because he's a detective. Back in the day, their format was not just one long story for the whole issue. It was one issue would have a couple different smaller stories in it. And the Legion story that's in this issue and featured in this issue is only 13 pages long. But back in the day, the style was to cram a lot of writing into those 13 pages. So even though it's only 13 pages, it still has easily enough for, you know, a modern issues story. So back in the day, they were more based on those old pulp novels. They were taking more after that, after the writing side of it. Current comics are more visual, and they take more after movies. So these rely a lot on the text to explain what's going on. And, you know, I hear people say that a lot, actually. But when I look at these pages, they're pretty, like, self-explanatory. They really hold your hand. Everything is explained very carefully. I mean, not sensibly. But you'll see. But a lot of it is explained, like, they show you what's going on very carefully, and everything's labeled, so they know, so that the reader will, like, know what's going on. It's very heavy-handed. And it's also for kids, so bear that in mind. I'm going to make fun of these a lot, but I also think they're really cute. The artwork's in it, and it's pretty cute. If you don't know, I'm also an artist. Like, my primary role in this world is to be an artist. So I focus a lot on how things look visually. And I actually think the artwork's pretty cute. It's like, you know, it's old school, but the anatomy is much better than a lot of current comics. Nobody's really bulging with muscles. They just kind of all look the same age, which is not really like little boy age. These are all supposed to be teenagers, but they all kind of look like they're in their 20s. They all look like they came out of old-fashioned magazine illustrations, because that's the only way people knew how to draw back then. Okay. The cover shows four people, three Legionnaires and Superboy. It says Adventure Comics featuring the Legion of Superheroes. So the Legion of Superheroes is supposed to be the main sort of attraction in this issue. There's a boy with a bubble on his head and a cute pink outfit. And there is another boy with a red and yellow outfit who has like a red cuff on one of his arms, and that other cuff seems to be missing. But that's all right. I make mistakes too. There's also a cute girl who, they all kind of look bitchy, but she looks particularly bitchy to me for some reason. There's also a girl, and she's wearing what looks like a tracksuit, and I was kind of hoping she secretly wore a tracksuit back in the day. But it turns out that the bottom part of that is actually a little skirt. But the upper part of it, which is yellow and black, looks really badass. And I wish she'd wear that now. That would look awesome, that yellow and black tracksuit thing. And it gives their little names, and they are denying Superboy access to their cool superhero club. This is just on the cover. This is a very hand-holding. They have little buzzers that say they're saying yes or no, and they're all the no's are lit up. It's very, very clear what their answer is, and Superboy looks shocked, of course. So I'll have a picture of the cover when I post this, and you can see for yourself. It's very explanatory. And there's an introductory page, and this introductory page is a splash page, and it's not really part of the story. It's just sort of an illustration of something that doesn't happen in the story at all. But it does serve to introduce the three new characters a little bit. You see the three new characters and Superboy, and they're stopping a criminal getaway rocket, as it says. And Superboy is looking on, and there's a large paragraph going like, oh my god, what is going to go on in this issue? Oh my god, what could possibly happen in this issue? It's very surprising. And Superboy's like, oh my god, what is possibly going to happen? And you have three people, and these are, well, you'll find out later that these are actually the founding members of Legion of Superheroes. There's Cosmic Boy, there's Lightning Boy, and there's Saturn Girl. Saturn Girl isn't named on this introductory page, but she will be like soon enough. It's all right. What you need to get out of this is what their powers are. And unlike the cartoon, which didn't tell you what the fuck their powers were for a billion episodes, Cosmic Boy has magnetic eyes. I don't exactly know what those are. He has magnetic powers, which basically equates to he can move things that are metal. In this very first issue, it seems to be something having to do with his eyes. Lightning Lad. I have to tell you right now that since I already know who these people are, it's really hard for me not to call them by their real names or their nicknames. So I'm going to fuck that up a lot. So there's a Lightning Lad. But right here, he's called Lightning Boy. So that's a little nerd note. In the very first issue, he's called Lightning Boy. And Saturn Girl, who I really want to call Imra, is using her telepathy to find out where these criminals are going. Cosmic Boy is using his magnetic powers to do something to the rocket. And Garth is shooting lightning at the weapon array on this little rocket, which is a very cute rocket. It's very like old-timey looking rocket. It's adorable. And they're all wearing jetpacks, which I'll talk about later. They're all wearing jetpacks to fly around. These people are characterized on this very first page with having only one superpower. Whereas Superboy and Superboy, he is characterized by having a billion powers. He has almost every power in the world. He has super strength, super sight, super vision, super smelling, super hearing, ice breath, everything. He has a billion powers. But these kids have only one power each. So, and this is like something that comes to characterize Legionnaires as having just one power and making do with their one power. So, on to the story, the real story.
Now, Superboy, man, boy man, he is wandering around Smallville looking for, who knows. He's wandering around Smallville and he sees a boy with red hair who's like, hey Superboy, but he's dressed as Clark Kent. Oh my god. And he's a little bit freaked out. He's like, oh my god, does somebody know my secret identity? And he's like, oh, forget about it, whatever. He just decides to forget about it for some reason. It's a secret identity and his family could be in danger, but he'll forget about it for now. Anyway, he goes on and he's a Superboy mode now. And a little boy with black hair is like, hey Clark Kent. And he's like, oh my shit, another boy that knows my secret identity. And he's freaked out again, and he keeps going on, and he sees a little girl, and she has blonde hair. It's not very clear what color hair they have, but I know, because I exist in the future, and I know what hair color they're supposed to have. So, he sees a little blonde girl, and he says, a girl too! Because whenever a girl is doing something, you have to sort of make a point of saying, oh my god, as well, this girl as well, a female as well. Because they're amazing. This is amazing. Past cute sort of sexism. If sexism can be cute. And I think this qualifies as cute sexism. So, he's freaked out by a third person yet knowing his secret identity. And then the other two boys appear, the other two boys from before, and they take off their 20th century clothes to reveal their futuristic real outfits. And, they just look really silly and cute. Not really that futuristic, because they didn't know what the future was going to be like. I will note that Cosmic Boy has taken off his head bubble. I don't really know why he's wearing it, because the others don't seem to be wearing it. So I'm not really sure what that means. I hypothesized that perhaps Cos has some asthma or something, or maybe it's like the equivalent of what Japanese people wear over their faces when they have a cold. That's possible. Maybe Kaz is just trying to be, you know, helpful and conscientious about spreading his future space germs to the rest of us when he's time traveling. So, these children who've been fucking with him all day say that, oh, you know, we were just trying to have a bit of fun with you. Have a bit of fun with you is the exact phrase that Cosmic Boy uses. And Superman's a pretty good sport about this. He doesn't care that they're being giant dicks to him for no reason. And they're pretty complimentary after that, saying, oh, Superman, you're so fucking awesome that we, from the future, want you to be in our superhero club. Our awesome club. And to get there, they have to get to the future. They take this thing called a time bubble. Time bubble appears in, you know, almost every incarnation of the Legion, this little time bubble, and this is how they get from the future to the past. So, Superboy says, well, you know, Smallville is pretty quiet right now, so it's alright if I go hang out with you guys and go take a little vacation in the future, I guess. And Superboy has not studied advanced principles of time travel like I have, or he'd know that he could come back at any time. He could come back at the exact moment he left, so that doesn't matter that he's going into the future, because you can just come back at the moment that you left, and nothing's different. You're not missing anything. So they go to the future, which is represented by a bubble shooting through space with clouds and the years passing by, which have been thoughtfully labeled so that you know that they're going through time. Like I said, it's very heavy-handed. You'll see this a lot. They show Clark and Superboy Smallville in the future. Smallville in the future, he's like, oh my god, it's a futuristic city now. It became a really big city. Like, no, it's still a small, shitty city, Superman, actually. It still sucks. And I'm from a little farm town, too, and it'd be really depressing to me if, you know, 1,000 years from the future, Wellington, Ohio still sucked balls. But, you know, I guess if you suck balls, you just suck balls forever. So they take him on a tour of Smallville in the future, and one place they take him to is an ice cream parlor And he's really amazed by how different the ice cream parlor is, even though it looks exactly like a 1950s ice cream parlor, except it has like planets and shit hanging from the ceiling. But, you know, when you're from a small town, any amount of change at all is amazing. It's just fucking amazing. It just blows your mind. You don't know what's going on. And they take him to a classroom, a futuristic school, because they're the worst tour guides ever. I know if I went to the future, I would not want to go to a classroom. I wouldn't give a shit. But at this classroom, they're teaching people about Superman history, I guess. And they have a robot, Superman robot, to demonstrate Superman's powers. And, you know, the funding for this class must be either really, really good, or Superman robots are really cheap. You know, in my school, they didn't have such amazing things. It's a big deal if you have a computer, let alone a Superman robot. So the Superman robot breaks, and luckily the real Superman's there to help out. Awesome, just great. And anyways, after school, the caption even says, after school, because you don't want kids playing hooky, they go to their rocket-shaped clubhouse. Now, it's not like a rocket is in it standing up on its butt. It's kind of half in the ground. And I'll show a picture of this, because I never really understood why their clubhouse is a rocket that looks like it landed in the ground. But who knows? They're kids. They don't know anything about building codes or things. They're just like, they found a rocket, maybe, and decided to have their club in it. So the three founders explain to Superman, Superboy Man, that Superman has to go through a sort of initiation phase. He has to go through some tests. He has to beat all of them at superheroing to get into the club, which doesn't really make that much sense because, you know, why would you want every person on your team able to beat the founders? That means that you have to be able to beat the founders to get in. It's kind of dick. But anyways, his first task is to save a statue that has fallen into the water, and he's up against Saturn Girl first. And Superboy's kind of like, oh, well, whatever, I have Superman powers. I have Superman powers. She has telepathy. Who cares? And there's no way she's going to beat me. But as he's about to leave, Superman robot from before is running. It's running away. It is on the loose. It's running away from the professor. And, you know, my first thought is, why is the Superman robot running away from a professor? And I'm very concerned about robot molestation problems, but Superboy isn't. He doesn't care. So instead of going on his little initiation thing, he decides to stop the robot that's on the loose instead. So he stops the robot, and he shows up, and when he gets back, Imra's pulling an Aquaman. She is having all the sea creatures get the statue up from the bottom of the water. I will note that she doesn't ask these sea creatures. She tells them. She fucking orders them, because Imra's a bitch. So she orders them to bring up the statue to the surface, and she gets it done before Superman can. And Superboy is bummed. He's pretty bummed out. And he doesn't choose to tell them about, you know, the runaway robot. Like, oh, I couldn't get the statue because this runaway robot. He decides not to because he doesn't want to feel like he's making an excuse for this. He doesn't want to make an excuse, which makes little sense, but it's alright. Just go with it. The theme of this podcast, especially for these early years, is just go with it. So, the fact that Superboy lost is not lost on his little new friends, and they really give him a hard time about losing. Kaz says, you lost out on your first task, and to a girl. God, is this the great Superboy we learned about in school? What's your excuse? And he doesn't have one, because he doesn't want to tell them about the robot. Anyways, the next task, he's up against Cosmic Boy, and this time, Superboy gets distracted from this task by a falling satellite, and he's like, I have to take care of this first. So he goes, takes care of that first. And in this page, we find out that a Cosmic Boy has gained his powers through a special serum. This is another nerd note. In this version, Cosmic Boy has gained his powers. He wasn't just born like this. He gained his powers through a serum. He's drinking things and getting powers. That's great. So Superboy gets back, and again, he doesn't tell him about the meteor because he doesn't want to seem weird, and he doesn't want to seem like he's making an excuse for the things. And Imra, being a Contosaurus Rex, reminds Clark that even though he has many powers, and they all only have one each, they're still kicking his ass at this little initiation thing. And Clark's like, oh man, I have to really get this next one. I have to really get this last one. Last one, he's up against Lightning Boy. And then he noticed that an invisible bird has gotten loose. And if this invisible bird smacks into anything, it could just, you know when a bird gets sucked into an airplane today, it will fuck up the airplane. He doesn't want this airplane to get fucked up. He goes and he grabs a glacier and uses it to freeze the air and kind of frost this bird so he can find it, so he can sort of see it. It's like when a window gets cold, it gets a layer of frost on it. So don't ask me. Don't think about it too much. Again. So Garth completes his task, which is warning a spaceship that its fuel tank is leaking, and he completes that task with making a sign with his hands. Somehow he says that his hands are like negative and positive ends of a battery, and when he claps, bolts of lightning come out, and these bolts of lightning he is able to form into letters. And yes, again, don't think about it. Don't think about it too much. The point is that Superman gets back, Superboy Man. He comes back, and they've decided to reject him because he didn't complete any of the tasks. He sucks. And again, they give him a really, really hard time. One of the Legionnaires off-panel remarks, only the backward 20th century people could think him a superhero. Bet they exaggerated his super deeds. And Superman's like, oh yeah, okay. He just sort of takes it and smiles it off. But Superboy's brave smile covers a broken heart, says the caption. And Superman's like crying in the next panel. It's really sad. But then in the next panel, Senator Girl says, oh wait, come back. We were just fucking with you. It turns out that this whole issue has just been them fucking with him. The Superboy robot that ran away, was Imra doing that with her telepathy. Somehow she's able to control robots with her telepathy. I'm not going to think about that. Neither should you. And the satellite falling was Cosmic Boy using his magnetic powers. And that bird escaping was Lightning Boy using his powers. And you might think, oh, well, they're just trying to test his priorities, make sure he has the right priorities and finds out which of these dangers is the most dangerous to humanity. But that's not really the case. Kaz says, it was only your initiation, and it proved you're a super good sport, taking it all with a smile. And even this Superboy takes with a smile, and just seems happy to be in the club, and doesn't really care that they've been just fucking with him ever since he met them. But just then, in the middle of their little celebration, there's another alarm that goes off, and there's a city at the South Pole. It's kept heated by this tower, and this tower is gonna fall the fuck over. Superboy's like, I can handle this. Let me do this. And so he goes there and grabs a meteorite from space first, a magnetized meteorite. I don't actually know if those exist, but go with it. He has a magnetized meteorite, and he's using it to keep the metal tower, back in place. And then he has a bag of salt that he's using to create lightning by scattering it in the clouds. I don't actually know if this works, but the lightning is so that the South Pole city will be kept warm while he's fucking with his tower. And then he comes back and says, I bet you're wondering why I simply didn't shove the tower straight with my super strength. And Imra says, oh, you read my mind. Now I get it. You had your little joke with us, too. You use magnetism, lightning, and now a mind-reading trick to duplicate our powers. And all on one job. And they give him a reward for this, for being a dick. I mean, yeah, you should totally risk everyone's life. A whole city's worth of people's lives were risked for Superman to show his new friends that he is the biggest dick of them all. And they give him a reward for being so amazing, for impressing them with his douchebaggery. And he gets this reward, and it says, Superhero number one. And he shows it to his dad. This is the last panel. He shows it to his dad, and his dad only looks vaguely interested. And that's the end. And that's the first appearance of the Legion of Superheroes. It's a really cute comic, but it does set up how, you know, they sort of fuck with each other a lot. And this is a theme that will be, you know, used a lot in the future, as you'll see when I do more podcasts, if I'm not horrifically embarrassed by this one and continue to do this. So that's it for today. Good night, and enjoy this podcast and hopefully the ones that come after it. If you have any questions, if I fucked a lot of things up factually, then feel free to leave a comment. You can email us at superfuturefriends@gmail.com.